everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here for another Happy Hour with Dr. T series event of Bible study into deeper understanding of the Word. Each week we get together on Tuesdays and have amazing guests on our regular Happy Hour show, which is 11 a.m. on Tuesdays. But these series on Thursdays take us to a deeper level, get an opportunity to speak to our authors about their books on a really much deeper level that we can really get into the meat of things instead of just skipping across the top. So a Thursday on Happy Hour shows that if we've done in the past, we've done a series over the last 4 years. We've been doing this for 4 years now, which is just quite a blessing in and of itself to be able to stick with it and keep doing things for that long. We've done deeper learning series with pastors Brad Cumming, Doug Van Dorn, Mike Spaulding, and several others. Plus, we've completed several series with authors Doug Woodward, Derek Gilbert, L.A. Marzulli, and most recently, Ender E. Law on the Signs of Jonah and Justin Prock on Bible eschatology. The feedback we've received on these series have just been terrific. In fact, other people have wanted to broadcast them on their shows because they're such an in-depth sort of study. And so we're really proud of that and really proud to invite our guests to be part of what we're doing here to get the word out for the Lord. Today, we're going to start another four-part series that's going to be make such a huge difference in people's lives. It's a little bit different than the kinds of four-part series that we've done before, and it's going to be very practical and something that you can incorporate right into your life. So let me introduce to you educator for the next 4 weeks. Kenza Haddock was born in Casablanca, Morocco, and moved to the United States with her family at the age of 12. As a young adult, God called her when she had a dream about Jesus. She renounced Islam and became an ambassador for Christ. Kenza is a licensed professional counselor and board-certified pastoral counselor. She has spoken at churches and has been featured in multiple media outlets, sharing her story of how God saved her from the persecution during and after her conversion into the faith of Christ. Her most recent book that we're going to be studying and going through over the next four today and for the next 3 weeks after that, her most recent book, The Three Enemies of Your Mental Health, The Devil, The Flesh, and The World, will be our book, and we'll use this as a workbook for this series so that you can go through it. There's great questions in there. There's places where you can take notes. You can yellow highlight it, dog ear it. So go out to Amazon and buy it so you can have it as a manual for as we're going through this series. Each week, we're going to take on what to do about each of these things, the devil, the flesh, and the world. And then we're going to conclude in week four of this four-part series with a discussion of weapons of warfare and what to do about the target on your back. Kenza, thank you so much for joining us again. You were on our show with Happy Hour a couple of months ago, so it's so great to invite you back and to do this entire series with your new book that's out, The Three Enemies of Your Mental Health. Welcome to Happy Hour with Dr. T.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited. It is a very important topic, and so I am honored and privileged to be here.
Well, it's a very important topic, particularly now with so much stress going on in the world about, and so much how we are struggling, not against men, but against the powers of principalities of this evil darkness, as they talk about in Ephesians. So you've got a lot to say about this. But before we get started and dig into your book and these topics, I know I read your bio and people know a little bit that you came from Casablanca, but tell us a little bit more about your journey and how you decided to write this book.
Yes, absolutely. So I grew up in an Islamic household. And so my whole understanding of life was that I was here for a certain amount of time. And while I was here, I was to earn salvation. And so I was pre-programmed as long as I can remember, that I needed to work my way into heaven. And so that was through works, whether it was fasting enough, praying enough, doing enough good works. And so that was just my goal and my mission in life. And over, I would say, around teenage years to early 20s, I started struggling with so much anxiety and depression. And there was a lot of trauma that went into that. And so my understanding of God being Muslim was very distorted. And so fast forward years later, the Lord calls me into his kingdom and I give my life to Jesus. And then he calls me into the field of counseling. And so I become a counselor, clinical and Christian counselor. And then I start treating brothers and sisters in the faith, both clinically and biblically. And I n noticed that so many of my patients also struggled with similar thoughts that I did as a Muslim, except they're believers. And so that is a common theme. And I can even say from my own story, anxiety didn't just dissipate as soon as I gave my life to Jesus. You know, it's a process, and it's not because, you know, I didn't have enough faith or I didn't, but it's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. It takes time. And so we just need to follow the heeding of the Holy Spirit in that.
Oh, I know. And you know, your other book that you wrote, I'm kind of, what is the other, something about, what was the title of your other book?
Yeah. The Ex-Muslim's Guide to Christianity, Just
Yes.
Leaving Islam. Yeah,
It was
absolutely.
very good. And when we had you on the show before, it was very, very good. And your journey and all the things that happened. And so I want to tell our listeners that that's another book of yours that they can get. And particularly if we've got any Muslims that are listening to us and you're considering becoming Christian, or you at least you want to know more about Christianity, because maybe in your place of work and your place where you go to school, you know, you're kind of a little alone and you're surrounded by Christians and you want to know what that's like. Her other book would be a great place for you to start. Tell, say the name of that, your other book again.
Yes, The Ex-Muslim's Guide to Christianity.
Very good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, yeah, so the reason I wrote this book in particular is, I mean, it's no secret that the rise of anxiety is out there. In fact, anxiety disorder is the number one clinical mental health diagnosis in the United States, followed by depression. Clinical depression, and followed by, I mean, it keeps fluctuating, but it's mood disorders or PTSD. But the top two are anxiety and depression. And so I wanted to just hone in on those two from both a clinical lens and a spiritual lens, because what I've found is, like you had mentioned in the introduction, I think a lot of times we give too much credit to man, but not enough credit to spiritual forces of evil. And so we have to strike a good balance in that.
Well, which brings me to part one of your book, which is about dealing with the devil. You start by saying to defeat an enemy, you have to know the enemy's strategy. And then you talk about the devil's four-step strategy. Why don't we dive into that a little bit?
Absolutely, yes. It usually, so the devil's four-step strategy usually starts with doubt. So the enemy wants us, enemy number one, the devil wants us to either doubt God's goodness or doubt God's sovereignty, because he knows that if we doubt God's goodness or God's sovereignty, then he can get our foot in the door into that cycle. And I like to give the example that I've come across so many times. Let's say someone is struggling with singleness, right? They have been waiting for God to provide the right person for them. They have expressed desire for a spouse. And so what happens is, in that waiting period, the devil will come in, and this is just one example of it. The devil will come in and whisper, you know, God must have forgotten about you, or he will misuse things that are not even scriptural. He'll say things like, God doesn't help those who don't help themselves. And so all of this in an attempt to get that person to not only fall in doubt, but take matters into their own hands. And so let's say that person starts dating someone, then the enemy says, oh, you know what? You need to have extra or premarital sexual relations. You need to do things that are outside of the Bible. And the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things. That's why we have to remain so close to God, because we can literally start justifying things that are not scriptural because we're scared. It's out of fear. And so let's say that person does move into having sexual relations outside of marriage. That's temptation, right? And so the very devil who tempted her starts condemning her now. So now she falls into shame. That's step three. So now she went from doubting God's goodness or sovereignty into temptation, into shame. So now she's not only believing the lies, she becomes the, we can become our own mouthpiece at of the devil to ourselves. We'll start self-condemning very fast. And so once we don't come out of shame, we go into hiding. So we hide from God and we distance ourselves from Him out of that feeling of shame.
Wow, that's a really great way to lay that out. And I'm sure that every single person listening to this has done that at least once. And it
I
may not
mean,
be
I've done it.
about sexual relationships, a sexual relationship outside of marriage, but it's going to be about something. It's going to be about something that you start to doubt. And it's and so much of it happens in the waiting. You know, our God's timing is not our timing. And we live in a McDonald's culture that we want everything like yesterday. And when we have to wait, it develops that anxiety and then it develops the doubt and we go down that path. That's really, really important.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it can be, like you had mentioned, it can be about anything, whether we're waiting for a job, whether we're waiting for anything that we're waiting for, the enemy's going to try to rush us out of God's will.
Very much so. And sometimes I have to remind myself, I've written a Substack about this. You know, think about historical characters in the Bible and how long that they waited. How long Joseph was in prison before he was became emperor of the country. How long Moses waited. How long Abraham waited to have a son. And all these different things. So, you know, that to me, when I think about those things, it reduces my anxiety about waiting, which I think is a lot of people's reasons for getting anxiety in the first place because they're waiting on something, a job, a relationship, getting pregnant, you know, buying a home. I mean, something is delayed and then we get that anxiety. And so if we can remind ourselves about other characters in the Bible that waited a really long time for God's goodness to show up in their life, kind of helps with that. You know, but sometimes in our waiting, we as we turn away, as we question God, and then we get involved in other things that we think may speed up the process. New agey things like consulting angels as protectors or horoscopes or things like that, using tarot cards. I had somebody that I wrote a Substack, this was about a year or so ago, and they were talking about in their church that their pastor was teaching them how to do tarot cards. And
Oh,
which is like really kind of a big one. So what happens when we stumble into these new agey type practices as a substitute for kind of figuring out the future, I guess?
yeah. One thing that I would say we have to watch out for are times in our lives where when we are either desperate or in despair or we're sad. Because yes, the devil can get us when we're very happy or nothing is going on, but he loves to get us when we're in despair. An example I can give that I have seen so many times is I've had patients who had lost a loved one, for example. And I mean, the death happened so fast, or the breakup happened so fast that they turned to a medium because the medium, especially in times when it was a death, the medium promised them to bring about their loved one so they can get closure and say goodbye, something that they felt like they were robbed of. And so we have to be very, very careful, just like 1 Peter 5:8 says that the devil is roaring around like a lion seeking those he can devour. And so he wants to devour us and he wants to steal from us the just going through the process of grief that God can walk us through. And instead he will derail us to give us false hope. And so mediums, they can be mediums, for example. You know, you and I may look at it and say, oh, no, that is not scriptural, but someone else may fall into that. Now, there are also socially acceptable practices that I have seen people partake in. For example, they call it holy yoga. And I said, there's nothing holy about yoga. That's like saying holy witchcraft. I mean, and they do that at church. They offer it in churches. And so we have to understand this is a very controversial topic. And I get that. And people say, well, I'm just stretching, but we have to understand that yoga is not just stretching. every single, first of all, the word yoga means union, and what you are unifying yourself with is one of the Hindu deities that you are applying those poses to. And so, for example, the sun salutation pose is not just a stretching pose. You are at that point bowing down to a one of the many, many Hindu gods. The cow pose, the downward dog pose, each one of them is to a Hindu deity. So we have to be very, very careful. Now, we also don't need to go to the other extreme, because when I've talked about this topic, someone was like, "Well, what if I'm just stretching at my house and not it's not even yoga and I accidentally do a yoga pose?" Well, that's not gonna happen. It doesn't happen that way. And so that's you this usually takes place when someone is partaking in a yoga class. And it doesn't matter how many Bible verses you recite during a yoga pose, it does not make it holy. Just to point that out there.
And that is pretty controversial because people will say it's just a stretching class, but it's really not. And how does doing that, how does that pull us away from God?
Well, the Holy Spirit, I mean, literally, God says he's a jealous God, right? Not jealous because he needs something from us, but he's zealous over the spirit that is in us. And so this is similar to us saying, "Oh, you know what? I'm married to this person. I'm married to my husband, for example, and I'm going to go on dates with someone else." I mean, of course, my husband's going to be like, "Oh, that's not okay," or if, vice versa, I would not be okay with it. And so we don't see it as we are literally bowing down to other deities and they're false deities. And so the only person we're supposed to worship with our body, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, in whom the Holy Spirit resides. And so our body belongs to God, and it says this in scripture. So we have to be very careful of that.
You know, there's another practice that's pretty common that people use, and you mentioned in your book is feng shui. You know, feng shui to re how we arrange energy, furniture and paintings and the draperies, and you know, the house face north as opposed to the house face east, and in order to direct the room's energy. Is that kind of using strange energies and that are opposed to what God would teach us about that, or is that just a particular way to rearrange your furniture?
No, that's not just an aesthetic movement. This is very much New Age. And I can tell you that from experience, because I've used feng shui before I gave my life to Jesus, and even shortly after, until the Lord convicted me, because we can justify certain things and say, "Oh no, this is just, you know, the new thing that we do." But no, feng shui uses, or it literally relies on energy forces or elemental forces, and it says you need to have your bed facing a certain way, or else you're going to invite negative energy. See, now we're putting faith in another object of our faith rather than in God. And that's how the devil likes to work. It's not so much that we're renouncing our faith and clinging to another one. No, he likes to just get his foot in the door, even if it's 99% Jesus and 1% another object in the faith. Or in another faith, he has his foot in the door. So now I'm concerned about the way my bed is positioned, or how many colors I have clashing. I mean, they have so many rules that may come under the guise of aesthetics, but the reality is they even talk about not mixing certain elemental forces. So that's not aesthetic, that's New Age. And we have to call it what it is.
What would you say to people who are, you know, claim to be Christians? They talk about Jesus, they say they've been baptized, they've done all that, but yet they consult their spirit guides, or they, you know, go once a month to their horoscope person and get their reading for the month. How would you approach them to say, you know, you're dabbling in the dark side and you're sort of mixing messages here. And it's really even, you know, in the Bible even talks about not going with mediums and looking at witchcraft and things like that. What is the best way to approach a friend or a family member that you see them doing these things, without completely offending them and them telling you there's no way this is that's they're two separate things. My belief in God is this, and I'm just doing this over here because it's kind of fun.
So, first off, we have to acknowledge that it is wrong. But also, what's interesting is as you were asking the question, and even earlier today, I was thinking about how can we approach someone or how to even give someone a visual of what's happening in the spiritual realm when they're doing that. And it's not so much a look at it as a covenantal relationship with God from like a relationship, like the former example that I gave, like my husband and I and one of us going on a date outside of marriage. This is more like when it comes to using feng shui and using astrology, this is more like a father-child relationship. I mean, imagine if you're a parent that your child says, yeah, I want you to provide for me, but I'm not going to take any of your advice. I'm going to go to this other person and call them mom and dad. I mean, that parent would, their anxiety would skyrocket within 2.2 seconds because they would feel jealous over that child. They know what's best for their kid. They provide for their child. And I feel that's how we treat God so often as our Heavenly Father. We're like, you know what? Yes, I want you to provide for me, but if you're not doing it fast enough, I'm gonna go to this other guide or this other guide or this other guide. And that is so hurtful to our Heavenly Father. Like it, I mean, it is, it's not pleasant. That's not a what a good father-child relationship is. And also it feeds our nature to want to have an answer right away. Because I'll say this, about 90% or at least the majority percentage of people who fall into, let me just check my horoscope, it's no big deal, or let me just see what my day's gonna look like, or let me put my house up feng shui style. They're driven by fear because they're not walking so close with God that they're experiencing the true, tangible love of the Father, his protective love, and the fact that, hey, you know what? Sometimes delays are his act of mercy because he wants us to be able to carry out the assignment that he has given us with the character for it. Because we both know that if we have an assignment, but we don't have the character to carry it, that assignment will crumble within 2.2 seconds.
So back to what I asked you originally is like, how do you approach somebody like that? I mean, I have a friend that comes to mind right now that exactly does that. That she's, you know, my and I tried to approach her and say, you know, I don't know about this astrology and these angel guides and angel readings, and she's like, my relationship with Jesus is good. You don't have to worry. We're good. We're really, really good. And I said, then why are you doing these other things? And she said, because there's a bigger scope, and the Galactic Federation, you know, does all these different things. There's all these different things that we're going to expose. And I said, so are you trying to say that you think that Jesus is just another prophet, is just somebody that's in the cadre of gods? Is that, oh no, he's in a special class, and I have a special relationship with him. And I said, then why are you doing these other things? And the conversation just stopped, and it got kind of cold. And I'm sure that you've dealt with situations like that in your practice. So how would you say, advise me or somebody that's had similar experience with me? I mean, you know, I'm really concerned for her about this whole thing.
So approaching family is going to be different than approaching a professional relationship, right? Because approaching family, first of all, just know that emotions are going to go high very quick. And that's happened to me when I've approached very close friends. You know, they look at you and say, just be prepared to be called, you know, you're legalistic, you're being judgmental, just things like that. And so what I would say is, first of all, just expect that they're not going to be, or they may not be open to it. Your job is to basically speak truth and just say, hey, for example, let's just say that person is engaging in yoga. You can say, hey, do you understand the origins of yoga? I noticed that you practice yoga every other Sunday. or every other Saturday. Do you are you aware of the origins of yoga? Because honestly, they may not be aware, and that might be just you educate them and then they're aware and then they stop. Or you may talk to them and they may say, "Oh no, you're being judgmental, you're being legalistic." And your job, you have to understand this, your job is to just communicate the information and ask the Lord to do something with that seed, because the more we try to convince someone, the more they'll be combative toward us, because we don't know where they are in their walk with Jesus. But our job is to for sure speak truth and leave them with that truth.
You know, we used to teach classes years ago. We used to do this started in 2017, that I did. We did classes called Mastering Vaccine Info, and the classes there would be one week would be talking about a vaccine topic, like what about smallpox and polio? You know, what about safe and effective? And then the opposite week, my business partner, who also does, he's a counselor in his own way, and he would give people language training on how best to communicate when you're trying to talk to a very pro-vaccine person who might be your daughter who's now pregnant, and you're trying to get them to open their mind to say, you know, maybe vaccines aren't so good. And we found, and we used in our training all the time, the best way is to ask questions. Try not to tell anybody anything. Try not to say, you know, vaccines are bad and you're poisoning your child. And instead saying, have you ever read a package insert? Have you ever known people or talked to people that have a vaccine injured child? Have you considered that, have you looked at any books that just tell you how to deal with a fever and why a fever is good? And you know, and so the best way is to kind of open the door with questions. So I like your answer about starting with somebody saying, are you familiar with the definition of yoga is and how what that really is all about? And there are certainly other stretching classes that aren't yoga classes. Have you looked into that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And when you were talking about the vaccine classes, it reminded me of a session I had with a patient who used to wear crystal bracelets for good energy, right? And to ward off evil. And honestly, she did not believe she was doing anything wrong. She just thought she was adding a bonus material to her faith in Christ. And so I started asking her, where is this fear coming from? Like, what evil are you trying to ward off? And it came down to she had a long family line of cancer. And so she was very scared that if she didn't wear this bracelet, that maybe cancer would just get attracted to her. And just come on her. And so I asked her if she's ever prayed about it. And what's interesting is she had not. She had not asked God for peace. She had not prayed about it, because it seems to me like we in our nature sometimes, like the microwave society or the McDonald's society, we just, someone will sell us a bracelet and we'll say, you know what, why not? It can't hurt. But the reality was it was feeding her anxiety, and we don't realize just how much relying on the wrong source feeds our anxiety.
And I think what you said there is something really important when you said it's just a value added. And so instead of like when the Bible says, "My grace is sufficient," you know, I am enough to fill you. You know, I'm your Alpha and Omega, and I do everything. And so we look at these little trinkets, like little crystal balls or crystal necklaces or dream catchers. You know, things like that are just, it's just a value added. You know, yeah, I'm really good with Jesus and I know that he does everything in my life, but it doesn't hurt to just have a little clip on the side, you know, a little add on the side. And that is a really destructive force in our walk with the Lord. How does that distract us? I mean, you've already mentioned about him being a jealous God, but how in our personal day-to-day life does that lead us away from a closer relationship with Jesus?
It sort of keeps God that as a distant God in our lives. It keeps him as, you know what, yes, maybe he is sovereign, but he wants me to do all of these things, or he doesn't care if I do them. And so It robs us of the opportunity to develop a healthy relationship with God, a personal relationship with God. Because if I'm relying, for example, on a crystal bracelet to ward off evil spirits, then that's robbing me from walking humbly before the throne of grace and saying, Lord, I'm putting this fear before you, and I'm praying that you would please take it away or give me peace about it. So it can even rob us, Dr. T, from experiencing his peace, that peace that surpasses understanding, and draw us closer to him. And so, yeah, overall, it robs us from a personal day-to-day relationship with God where we're okay being dependent on him.
Good. Well, we're at a place that we're going to take a really quick break here. Today, we're talking the first of our four-part series with Kenza Haddock, and we're talking about her book, The Three Enemies of Your Mental Health. She's a certified counselor, and today we're talking about devil things. The three enemies of your mental health is the devil, the flesh, and the world. And we're talking about devil things, and we've got more to come. We're going to take a really quick break. We will be right back.
Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant, you can take it when you're nursing, you can give it to little children, you can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out. The heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years.
Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off. Well, welcome back, everyone, and welcome back, Kenza. You tell a story in your book about a client of yours who did what you call Jesus plus idol, which is kind of along the lines of what we're already talking about. Please talk about that experience and why we should not do this. And this is a real life experience of somebody who did the clip-on dolls on the side of Jesus. So go ahead and talk to us about that a little bit.
And it really it reattests and it piggybacks on what you were talking about with asking questions rather than just like attacking someone. So this happened when I was doing therapy in homes during my training, and I walked in, and this girl who had been struggling with so much anxiety, and this is not just a one person scenario. This has happened on multiple occasions, believe it or not. I'll walk in and a person's struggling with anxiety or unprocessed grief or prior trauma. And in this particular scenario, this person had done feng shui. They had been wearing crystals. They had a Bible also. And they also had these, the best way I can describe them, they were like shrines. And so I didn't know if she was Hindu or if she was Buddhist or if she was an atheist because it seemed like she believes in everything. And so I was so intrigued because I wanted to understand where was all of this coming from? If God is the Alpha and the Omega, why do you need all of this? And so I just asked her questions. I wanted to know what was going on and why she felt she needed all of these gods per se, rather than just put her faith in the one true God. And as I got to know her, and sometimes it helps so much when we ask questions and we get to know the person rather than just preach at them. That's what makes the difference between preaching at someone and it bounces right off versus preaching to someone and it goes into the depths of their heart. And so as I was talking to her, it was clear that her childhood I mean, she bounced from one home to another. There was no sense of consistency. There was no sense of good attachment or bonding with her authority figures. And so her whole life, she felt like she had to carry the burden of her life and of her of everything. And so she believed that Jesus was a good person. She thought she was a Christian also, but she also kept, the good crystals, the all the different colored crystals with her just in case. And so it was like she had plan A, B, C, and D. And it was very just, it's a trauma response cycle. That's what we call it. And so as I talked to her about the Lord, I mean, I was honest with her, and it took a couple of sessions, but I was honest with her. I told her, it doesn't sound like you're saved if you believe that Jesus is a good person rather than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so within a couple, I would say it was about 2 months or so, she ended up giving her life to Jesus. And part of her salvation and sanctification process after she gave her life to Jesus, she had to get rid of everything because, or else you're going to have a divided mind. And that's what was going on with her. She didn't know whether she was going to turn to the crystals or to her horoscope on Tuesday. And then Wednesday comes and she doesn't know what the day is going to hold because she, all of her trust was not in just one God. And so it made a huge difference.
Wow, that's beautiful. Well, in the first part of your book, we've just been covering through the first chapter, first part of your book, you include a four-part battle plan to break the ties with these dark practices, especially if you don't really see them as dark. You know, that's really the first step in correcting a problem is recognizing it as a problem. And so, people that don't recognize these practices like crystals and angel guides and horoscopes and yoga and feng shui, all the things we've been talking about, what if they say, you're crazy? There's nothing wrong with these things. So what is the four-part battle plan that can start breaking these ties with these dark practices?
You know what's interesting, it's not so much the horoscope, like the people who are engaged in horoscopes or go see a medium that fight back, because you have, we have Deuteronomy, it's right there. It's sometimes it's the subtle methods, like for example, watching a movie that has so much horror in it, or watching a movie, or exposing our eyes and ears and our kids' eyes and ears also to things that are not good for them, like curse words. And I see that all the time. And so that mixed in with the other practices, I would say, first of all, we have to go in with prayer, and we have to, there is no way around breaking ties with those objects, because we have to get real with ourselves, Dr. T, and say, okay. And that's what happened to me. I was into astrology. I was into Chinese horoscopes. I was into the Mayan calendar, even though it ended. It makes no sense now looking back. I mean, and so, but I had to go into it with prayer and ask the Lord to reveal to me, is this wrong? And it was. And the Lord revealed to me that all of that was just rooted in fear. It's because I was so afraid. I was trying to control the future, when in reality, I can just rest because the one who holds the future is right there. So we have to break up with those objects. And so if it, and we have to renounce them verbally. So we have to break up with them verbally, and we have to repent, and we have to say, I repent of engaging in yoga. And I walk people through all of that in the book. And I mean, it's a repentance and a renunciation. I repent of engaging in yoga. I repent of engaging in tarot card readings, and I renounce it out of my life. And so we have to break up with it. That's number one. Number two, get rid of it. And so it's not enough to just repent of it. You have to get rid of that object. And that's, I mean, you find that in the book of Acts when people were bringing their scrolls and burning them. So we have, if you have Ouija boards in the attic, Throw them out. If you have a horoscope app on your phone, you have to delete that because that is not of God and it's bringing about spiritual oppression in your life. And then after that, after you get rid of those objects, then follow it with praising the Lord for the work he has done in your life and just draw close to him with praise. You know, his word says that the presence of God inhabits the praises of his people. And the reality is, his presence literally can take out any fear that we have in our lives. And as you draw close to God, I would say step four and the last step is just allowing God to disciple you to be able to discern God's voice from the enemy's voice. Because a lot of times Satan will speak to you in the first person. You know, when you look in the mirror and think to yourself, I'm a loser, that's not from the Lord. That is not God's voice. And just one trick that I like to tell my patients to use to be able to discern it is add the sentence in Christ. So if I look in the mirror and say, I'm a loser in Christ, that makes no sense. Throw it out. You see? Or if I say, I am ugly in Christ, throw it out. And so make sure you add in Christ. It can be helpful.
That's really, really good. And when you hear things in, I went through a period of time about a year ago where I was really kind of down in the dumps. I was still in recovery from the stroke and really, not in a good place. And I'm sitting there reading my Bible and I heard this voice say to me, you know, that doesn't apply to you. It applies, and I'm reading this, it's like, and I really kind of bought into that for a while because I was already down in the dumps about some things. And it's like, yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it? That, nothing is getting better and there's all these things that are kind of failing and it just and see and oh and I started hearing it louder. And those promises of God, it just doesn't apply to you. And I said out loud, Satan, get behind me. I don't want to hear your voice anymore. And it's like instantly it disappeared.
Yes.
You are seeing these things with tarot cards and angels and all this other stuff. And you're hearing these little voices that are saying, there's nothing really wrong with this. It's not a big deal. And those angels are really, they're around you all the time and they're protecting you. And you can just say, Satan, get behind me. I don't want to hear this anymore. And take this with you. Is another way where you can just break the break away from all that stuff that you're hearing that's sucking you in. It's like the big sucking sound, sucking you into dark things that you're dabbling with that you really shouldn't be there.
Yes, I love that. Absolutely. And I mean that's employing the sword of the spirit too. When you find verses that are completely the opposite of what the enemy is saying to you. You know, he can say one common one is he'll tell people you're so behind where you need to be in life. I mean that's a huge one that I hear. And what I say is, you know what? When you feel that, when you hear that, don't let it take root in your spirit. Say out loud, Philippians 1:6 says, He who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it, because it's true. And keep saying it out loud. Because at the end of the day, when Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus replied with, It is written, because the written word of God is the sword. It's an offensive weapon that we can use.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the importance of staying in the word and learning every single day, even if it's only 10 minutes. It's like eating a little snack every day. And then every once in a while you eat like a big meal.
Yes. No, I love that because a lot of people say, well, what if I don't feel like it? And I tell them, listen, do you think every day I wake up, I'm like, oh, this is great. And I'm looking forward to feeding on the word of God. There are times when I was up all night with the kids and I just want to sleep and not do anything the rest of the day. But no, I understand we're in a battle. As believers, we are in a battle day in and day out. So even if you have to force feed yourself the word of God, meaning you're reading it and it maybe you're not even feeling it. Just remember, you're planting seeds. Just read scripture because what you're showing the enemy is that's not going to work. You're not going to keep me away from God's word.
That's beautiful. Well, this has just been a great first session. It's the first part of four parts that we're going to be doing here on your book, The Enemies of Mental Health. And I've read this whole book. It's really quite good. And I'm encouraging everybody to get this book and follow along with us and then turn this into your own manual. Take the things because there's questions at the end. There's ways that you can reflect on and different templates that you can use for your own edification. So you can go out and get this. And is the best place for people to buy this is off of Amazon, or you have other places where they can buy it?
Yes, Amazon, anywhere books are sold. It's available, Barnes and Noble, Walmart.com. So, yeah.
Oh, lots of good places. Well, as we close out with our very first session here today, we've got three more to go. Kenza, do you want to close us in a quick word of prayer tonight?
Yes, absolutely. I'd love to. Yes, faithful Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. God, thank you for being our Father. Lord, I pray for each person that's listening to the program today. Lord, I pray that you would make your voice louder than the enemy's voice. Lord, thank you for the call you have on their lives. And God, where there is doubt, I pray, God, that you would give them hunger for your word and they would draw close to you and just learn what it means to rely on your love for them. God, I pray that they would come out of this series even closer to you than they went going in. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you so much. That was really beautiful. So
Thank
I
you.
can tell this is going to be a great series because it's so practical. Because everybody runs into things like this in their life, either the things that they're personally doing, or friends or family members or things, because the evil on this planet is just running rampant because evil knows that its time is running short. And so it's doing everything it can to disrupt and cause chaos. So this is
Yes.
a really, really great series. And so I encourage everyone again to get The Enemies of Your Mental Health by Kenza Haddock. And we've got more to come next week. So I want to thank everybody for joining us here today in this study of discussion of Bible, praise, God, and prayer. Well, it's both grateful and wonderful to have you here with us again, Kenza. And to everyone else, it's great that you've joined us. And we'll see you again here next week, same place, same time at Happy Hour with Dr. T. So with that, I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all my podcasts with, whether it is live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12, 12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, remember to lean into God. He will never let you down. Trust him for everything. Give him the glory, and he will give you all of his love in return. So with that, I want to have a great week for everyone. See you next week, same place, same time. Goodbye, and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body's vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.